Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wills, let him take of the water of life freely.
The cry of the Christian religion is the simple word, come. The Jewish law said go. It was a dispensation of the whip which drove men before it. But the gospel is of just the opposite kind. It is the dispensation of the shepherd. He goes before his sheep, and he bids them follow him, saying, come. The law repels, the gospel attracts. The law shows the distance between God and man, but the gospel bridges that distance and brings the sinner across that great fixed gulf which Moses could never bridge. From the first moment of your spiritual life until you are ushered into glory, the cry of Christ to you will be, come. He will always be ahead of you, bidding you to follow him as a soldier follows the leader. He will always go before you to pave your way and prepare your path. And even in the solemn hour of death, the sweet word with which he shall usher you into heaven shall be, come. Come to me. Come and be with me where I am. No, more than that. This is not only Christ's cry to you, but if you are a believer, this is your cry to Christ. Come, come. You will be longing for his second coming. You will be saying, come quickly, even so, come, Lord Jesus. You will always be longing for closer communion with him. And as his voice to you is come, even so will your prayer to him be, come, Lord, and consecrate me more fully to your service. Come and without a rival reign. Come and occupy alone the throne of my heart. So come is the very motto word of the gospel. And it is this word I hope to expand this evening. Our text says, whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wills, let him take of the water of life freely. There are four things very plain in this text. Namely, first, that there is such a thing as the water of life. Secondly, that the invitation to take this water is very wide. Thirdly, that the path which leads to this water is very clear. And fourthly, that the only rule prescribed for those that would take is that they may take it freely. This is the only price demanded and the only condition, which indeed is not a condition, but the death blow to all conditions. Let him come and take the water of life freely. First then, there is such a thing as the water of life. On our own, we are utterly ruined and undone. We human beings are lost in a wilderness, a dry desert. The heavens refuse us rain and the earth can yield us no moisture. We look aloft, beneath, around, and we discover no means of escape. Must we die? Must thirst devour us? Must we fall in this desert and leave our bones to bleach under the hot sun? No, declares the text. There is a fountain of life, ordained in eternity by God. This fountain, this divine well, takes its spring from the deep foundations of God's eternal plan. The depths of his own goodness and his divine nature. These are the mysterious springs from which gush forth this fountain of the water of life, which will do good to us. Jesus it was who dug this well. He bored through the massive rocks which prevented this living water from springing upward. He used his cross as the drill to pierce through those rocks, breaking a passage by which the love and grace of God, this living water which can save our souls, could well up and overflow to quench the thirst of dying men and women. So this sacred fountain was established by God's goodwill and pleasure, but opened up by Christ when he died on the cross to give life and health and joy and peace to sinners who were dead in sins and ruined by the fall. There is a water of life, says our text. Perhaps there's somebody here tonight who says, I have a longing within me that I can't satisfy. I have within me an aching void which the world can't fill. There was a time, says one, when I was satisfied with the amusements and the pleasures this world offered, but no longer, my joys have faded. Well, I'm glad that is so. I'm glad your system has run dry. For till we are dissatisfied with this world, we will never look out for the next. Till we are utterly disillusioned with the God of this world, we shall not look to him who is the only living and true God. But listen, if you are wretched and miserable, here is living water that can quench your thirst. Come and drink, and you'll be satisfied. He that is a believer in Christ finds enough for him in Christ now and enough forever. The believer isn't a person who has to pace his room in boredom. He's not a person whose days are weary and who finds no delight. He finds in faith such a spring of joy, such a fountain of consolation. He is always fundamentally content. Put him in a dungeon and he'll find good company. Place him in a barren wilderness and he will eat the bread of heaven. Drive away all friends and he will still have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Sap the foundation of all his earthly hopes, and since the foundation of God stands sure, his heart will still be secure. There is such a fullness in his faith that he can testify from experience, I would not change my blessed estate for all that the earth calls good or great. I never knew what happiness was till I knew Christ. I thought I did. I warmed my hands before the fire of sin, but it was a painted fire. When once I had tasted the love of Christ, why, that was heaven begun here on earth. If you only knew the joy of this water of life, the sweetness of love to Christ, you wouldn't stand aloof from him. If you could but catch a glimpse of the joy of the believer, you would renounce your wildest mirth and long to become the meanest child in the family of God. It is the living water, the water of life, that satisfies our thirst and gives us the reality which we can never find elsewhere in anything beneath the sky. He who once drinks of this water of life drinks that which will quench his thirst forever. You will never thirst again, except it be that you shall long for deeper draughts of this living fountain. Become a Christian, and you shall be forevermore drinking of water that will never die. You will be satisfied for life. Your body may die, but it shall rise again in glory, in honor, and in power, for this is the water of life. Who would not long to come and drink it? And that brings us to the second head of our text. We may. For we observe from it that the invitation is very wide. Whoever will, let him take the water of life freely. The one question I have to ask this evening of you is, are you willing to come? If so, then Christ bids you take the water of life. Are you willing to be pardoned, to be sanctified, to be made whole? For if you're willing, Christ is willing too. And you are freely invited to come and welcome to this fountain of the water of life. Now I want you to mark carefully, this question has to do with the will. Oh, says someone, I am so foolish, I can't understand the plan of salvation, therefore I may not come and drink. But my question has nothing to do with your understanding, it has to do with your will. You may be as big a fool as you please, but if you're willing to come, you are freely invited. If you can't read a single letter in the alphabet or spell a word in a book, yet your lips, ignorant lips though they be, may now drink of this water of life, because it has nothing to do with your understanding. It does not say, whosoever understandeth, let him come, but whosoever will. I have no doubt that there are many souls who, when they first come to Christ, have very little understanding of the way of salvation and very little knowledge of the way in which Christ saves. But they come to him. And you say from your heart, Lord, you know I would have my sins forgiven. Then come and welcome. Jesus bids you come. Don't let your ignorance keep you away. Oh, says another, I can understand the plan of salvation, but I cannot repent as I would like. My heart is so hard, I cannot bring tears to my eyes. I cannot feel for Christ as I should. But this text has nothing to do with your emotions. It is with your will. Are you willing? Then be your heart hard as a millstone. If you're willing to be saved, I am bidden to invite you. Whosoever will, not whosoever feels, but whosoever will, let him come and take the water of life freely. Yes, says one, I can honestly say I am willing. I wish God's grace would change me. I wish that Christ would soften my hard heart. I desire that he would put the living fire within my cold breast and make me repent and make me love him and make me believe in him. I am willing. Then this text is for you. Whosoever will, let him come. If you are willing, you are freely invited to Christ. No, says yet another, I am too great a sinner. I've been a drunkard. I've been immoral. I've gone far away from the paths of righteousness. How can God accept a wretch as I am, such a foul creature as I've been? But mark, there's no reference made here to your past life. It simply says, whosoever will. Are you willing? Are you willing to be saved? Can you say, Lord, I am willing. I am willing to give up my sins. I am willing to be a Christian. I am willing to believe and willing to obey. Then you are freely invited to come. There is no barrier between you and Christ except your stubborn will. If your will is subdued, if you are saying, yes, Lord, I am willing, then you are freely invited. Don't reject this invitation. Come and welcome. But says yet another, I cannot come. I cannot believe. I cannot do as I would. But it does not even say, whosoever can, let him come. It says, whosoever will, let him come. Are you willing? There's many a person that has more will than power. But God estimates us not by our power, but by our will. You see a man on horseback, he's in haste to fetch the doctor for some dying man. But the horse is a miserable hack and will not go as rapidly as the man would like. Well, you cannot scold the man for that. He wants to go. He whips the horse. He spurs it to make it go, but it will not go. So maybe it feels for you. Your poor heart will not go. It's a sorry and disabled hack. It would go if it could. So Jesus invites you, not according to what you can do, but according to what you will. Whosoever will, let him come. Surely as these words go round the hall, there will be many found who will answer to it, and who will say from their hearts, I am willing, I am willing. Let that word go round personally. Let me not just be talking to you in the crowd. Let the arrow reach the individual, the pensioner, the teenager. Are you willing now to be saved? Willing to take Christ as your Saviour now, this day? Are you willing to be made happy in Christ? Are you willing to escape hell in Christ? Strange that it should be necessary to ask such questions, but it is. Are you willing? For if you are, you're invited to take of the fountain of the water of life freely. Ah, saith one more, God knows I am willing, but still I do not think I am worthy. No, indeed you are not. But what has that got to do with it? It is not whosoever is worthy, but whosoever will, let him come. What a large word is that whosoever. There's no standard height here, is there? Little sinners, big sinners, black sinners, white sinners, old sinners, young sinners, aggravated sinners, sinners who've committed every crime in the whole catalogue. Whosoever. Does it exempt anybody? Who can be excluded from this world?
It matters not who we are or what we may have been if we are willing to be saved. Then free as the air we breathe is the love and grace of God. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. That is how broad the invitation is. But more than that, our text shows us in the third place how clear is the path to this water of life. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Let him take the water of life freely. That word let is interesting. It surely speaks of the end of all hindrance. Let him come. It's as if we hear God speaking, calling, inviting. And yet others want to restrain us. Others want to tell us we are too sinful, too unworthy. He cannot come. But God says, no. Let him come. He's willing. Then stand back. Stand away, all of you. Let him come. Make a straight road. Let him come if he be but willing. We imagine perhaps the devil himself coming forward, striding across the way. He says to the poor trembling soul, you'll never find mercy. You'll never believe in Christ. You'll never be saved. But Christ says, let him come. And Satan, strong though he be, quails before the voice of Christ and is driven away. The path stands clear. Nor sin, nor death, nor hell can block it up when Jesus says, let him come freely. Methinks perhaps I see some in the church standing in the way. Religious people of such high doctrine that they dare not invite a sinner and clog the gospel up with so many conditions. They will have it that the sinner must feel a certain quantity of experience and attain a certain quantity of righteousness before he can be invited to come. So they put up their sermons and say, you cannot be invited. You must not come. Stand back, says Christ, every one of you. Though you call yourself my servants, let him come. He is willing. Don't you dare stand in his way. It is a sad thing that Christ's ministers should sometimes become the devil's aiders and abettors, yet sometimes they are. They roll huge stones in the path of the sinner and say to him, you may not come, but in the name of Almighty God, stand back this evening and keep from arresting that willing sinner from coming to Christ. Let him come. Is that not a precious word of command? It has all the might of omnipotence. This is the God who said, let there be light, and there was light. And now he says, let him come. And come he will. Come he must. I remember I stood one day in the courthouse, and a witness was required. I forget his name, it may have been Brown. Calling Samuel Brown, came the voice. And pretty soon 20 other voices had taken it up. Calling Samuel Brown, calling Samuel Brown. And then I saw a man pushing his way through the crowds. Make room, he said, make room. His honor calls me. And though there were many in his path, they gave way because he was being called, and that was sufficient command to them not to hinder him, but to let him come. So if you are willing, push through your fears. Make elbow room. Let him come, he has said. They cannot keep you back. It is yours to say, I will come. There is nothing that shall hinder me. I will push through everything. I will go to the fountain and take of this water of life. And that brings us to the fourth heading of our text. The single condition of coming. Let him take it freely. I think again of that one who is saying, I would be saved, but I will do what I can to be worthy of it. So he comes with his penny in his hand, and that a bad one, and says, here, give me a cup of this living water to drink. I am worthy of it. See, here is the price in my hand. Put up your money. You cannot have this water for gold or silver. Perhaps you will say, I go to church regularly, I will give to the poor, I will be baptized, I will do this or the other, and then no doubt I shall have the water of life. Bring not your rags and your rubbish to God. He wants them not. You insult the Almighty when you tender anything as payment for this water. He says, come freely. He wants nothing to recommend you. He needs no recommendation. He wants no good work, so do not bring any. You say, but I must have faith and repentance. Then do not try to get them yourself. Come to him and he will give them to you. Come just as you are. It is freely, without money and without price. Have you seen the drinking fountains at the corners of our streets? They're valuable institutions, but I cannot imagine anyone being so foolish as when he comes to one of those drinking fountains, fumbling in his purse and saying, I can't drink, I haven't got £5 in my pocket. For however poor a person is, there is the fountain, and poor as he is, he may drink it. It's put there for the public. Thirsty souls as they go by don't look for any warrant for drinking. They come and drink of it freely. It is the liberality of some philanthropist that has put it there. And they take it and ask no questions whatever. Indeed, the only persons that ever need to go thirsty through our streets are the fine ladies and gentlemen who are in their carriages. They may be thirsty, but cannot think of being so vulgar as to get out and drink at a common fountain. It would demean them. So they go with parched lips. How many there are that are rich, rich in their own good works, that cannot come to Christ. I will not be saved in the same way as a prostitute or a drunkard, they say. Or I'd go to heaven the same way as a chimney sweep. Is there no pathway to glory but the path which a pauper may take? Then you fine gentry may remain without. You are not bidden to come, for you are not willing. None are excluded but those who do themselves exclude. Whosoever will, let him come freely. Let him bring nothing to recommend him. Let him not imagine he can give any payment to God or any ransom for his soul. For the one condition that excludes all conditions is, let him come and take the water of life freely. He that stands by the fountain will never mourn because you drink too much. Christ will not grudge you. He will never be dissatisfied because you, a fellow that has dared to wash himself in the living stream, comes back again and again. No. The worse you are, the more he will rejoice that you have been washed. The more thirsty you are, the more his soul will be gladdened to have you drink and be satisfied. He is not enriched by withholding. Rather, he is enriched by giving. It is as much a pleasure to Christ to save us as it is for us to be saved. He is just as glad to see the poor, the lame, the halt, and the blind sit at his table as ever they can be to sit there. He is just as pleased to carry people to heaven as they themselves can be when they drink of the river of joy at the fountainhead of eternity. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely, says Alfred. Now I do not know what to say further. This text is such a precious one. Remember, my dear friends, if you are willing to be saved, God requires nothing of you except that you will yield yourselves up to Christ. If you are willing to be saved, nothing can prevent it. There is no obstacle. You come where Jesus stands this evening, stands with open arms, crying to you, if anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. You come where Jesus stands this evening, stands with open arms, crying to you, if anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Will you refuse such an invitation? Will you go this day and ignore the free mercy of God? Will that very mercy lead you into more sin? Will you be wicked enough to say, because grace is so free, I will continue in sin a bit longer? Do not grieve the Spirit of God. For today is the time of acceptance. Today is the day of salvation. We have been warned. Our conscience has often been pricked.
Now this day we are being sweetly invited for the time of warnings and of invitation will pass. May I not take you by the hand? May we not go together and drink? May the Holy Spirit incline you. See, on that bloody tree Jesus hangs and pays his life a ransom for your sins and mine. Believe on him. Trust in him. Commit yourself to him. He cannot cast away one soul that comes to him, for he that comes I will never cast out. So may the Spirit draw our reluctant hearts and give our timid souls courage to come.